Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Own Your Awesome podcast. I'm your host, Miranda Von Fricken. Today is a recording that I have been holding off on for a little bit because when something big and magical and beautiful happens in our life, whether it's personal or professional, there's always this cycle, if you will. You'll hear a few episodes of me describing an experience I had and what transpired from it. Going to California, meeting Jack Canfield, signing on to write a book with him that's coming out in 2025, and the hangover, if you will, that comes after having such a high for so long. I've spoken a little bit about it after I went to Hawaii and I came back and I thought that I was hitting the upper limit, if you will. I talk about it a lot in a previous episode that I'll link here below. Essentially, I turned it into my summer strategy sessions and helping other people to break through it. And I'll make sure that you get to listen to that by posting it, the link actually in the show notes. So check that out, because this isn't the first time I've experienced the highs and then the lows after hitting success. And I'm still figuring out what it looks like and how I can get rid of it, if you will. And maybe it's human nature. Maybe we can never get rid of the highs and lows and just keep a balance. But if I remember anything from my trip to California, I mean, there's a lot that I'm going to talk about, but if anything really stood out in my mind as like a life lesson or take it home with you, is that someone said, and I think it was Brittany Turner, and I'll talk a little bit about her and the gifts that she is to this world later on in the episode. But what she said is, if life is a flat line, then you're dead. But an EKG of an alive, healthy person is up, it's down, it's up, it's down. It means our heart is beating. And that's something I'm here for. I'm not here for a flat, basic, mediocre, average life. I'm here for all of it. And that includes the lows. As a lot of you know, if you've been following me for any time now, you know that I've experienced very low lows and some really high highs. And this last year, I've experienced a lot of lows and a lot of highs. And they're extreme. And I'm learning how to, I guess, blend both of them and overcome this weird cycle of up and down that I've had in my life. I'm okay with some highs and some lows. But if you're constantly high, constantly low, constantly high, constantly low, you have a really hard time finding the middle ground and being okay with it. So that's what I'm learning. And you'll hear more about that over the next few episodes, because I really want to be transparent with you. I'm not superhuman, although I wear a cape a lot. And I have some flaws, some weaknesses, but I think that's a part of the grand design. And again, that's something I'm here for. So today I want to talk to you about my California trip. Last month I went to Hollywood, if you will. Technically it was Beverly Hills. We still did venture out to Hollywood, but I went to Beverly Hills because I'm a part of a project with Jack Canfield. And I think I've mentioned this a little bit in the past. And so I've made a huge investment in myself, and I took a chance and said yes to a project that really stretched me. It made me share some of the more spiritual side of myself, and it's beautiful. It's amazing. And the things that come with this, being a part of this experience, are amazing. And I have a feeling it's going to make my 2025 flip me upside down, if you will. If I think 2024 has been high and low, I can only imagine what 2025 is going to do the minute this book comes out, because I know it's going to catapult me into a different genre, if you will, going from corporate LinkedIn / leadership trainer to a more spiritual side of what I do. And I'm that is the plan. Ultimately, I say when I grow up, I want to be Joyce Myers. For any of you who know who she is, she's an amazing pastor. She's mega church, if you will, and very deep into her soul and her calling is to help transform people from where they are to where they need to be in their walk with God. And so, although I am a reverend, I don't know if you guys know that I am ordained. My lot in life is not to be a pastor of a big mega church, but I want, and I've always spoke on stages and I always talk about my faith as the foundation, but I really want to just, I just want to amplify that message to anyone who needs a transformation, needs healing, has been through some shit, that there is light after loss. And so that's a part of the story that I tell in my book with Jack Canfield. It's actually called Unlocking Success. And I get to write one of the chapters. And so you'll hear me talk a little bit more about that. But this California trip is actually a part of that experience that I signed on for, this big investment, which you'll hear more details about, what it meant for me to take this huge investment, to do this leap, you know, what it costs, all that stuff to make a big leap in your business and in your life and taking a risk like this. And I guess you'll have to wait for next year's episodes to hear if it pays off. I think it already has, even though the book isn't even out yet. I think I've already made back all the money that I have invested. So anyway, going to California is a part of it. So there is an event called the Success Summit that the Celebrity Branding Agency puts on. Now I am represented by the Celebrity Branding Agency as a part of this project. They've already put out press releases. Google me and you'll find them about my project with Jack. And I get to go out to this event and be a part of the experience. So about a month ago, September 2nd, actually, we went to California. It was myself and I brought my husband and my daughter with me. My son stayed home because he was nervous about missing his first week of his senior year of college. My daughter was not nervous about missing her first year, her first week as an eighth grader. So she came with me, as did my husband. And although they weren't coming to the summit with me, they went to Disney, they went to UCLA and played basketball. They had an amazing experience in and out of what I was doing. We did spend some time together, which was kind of cool. We swam in the pool and did some tours, walked the pier. It was a pretty cool experience for us as a family and for them to actually see what I do, right? Like the highs and lows of this life I live of entrepreneurship, the networking, the outfit changes, the 700 pairs of shoes. They were like, girl, you should have got your own room. And I'm like, I know. Next time. So it all started this trip landing in California at 10:01 a.m. Pacific time. So it was obviously around way later for us here in New York, but in California, we landed at 10:01. And now anyone who knows me knows that 10:01 is my God number. And there's a whole story behind that. I'll do a future episode on it. But just so you know, 10:01 is extremely significant in my life. I have an alarm that goes off every day at 10:01 a.m. And I say a prayer to God, thanking him for the life he's given me and reiterating the trust and the certainty I have in him and what he brings to my life, that it's all for good, that he is good, it is all good, and it's there to show me what I need to change in my soul, to elevate, to become my highest self. So my alarm goes off at 10:01 every day. This day it didn't because I was on airplane mode, right? So when I landed, I go to turn on my phone and I realize it's 10:01. And I just, of course, my eyes welled up with tears because I'm such an emotional sap. And knowing that I landed in California, which California is also significant for me too. One of my besties and I in college planned to move to California. We packed up our stuff. We joined apartments together to save money for a year and moved to California. That ended up not happening. And I moved to Manhattan. My New York story is alluded to a little bit in an episode last year. I won't put it in the show notes because it wasn't a huge story, but maybe in the future I'll talk about my experience living in Manhattan. But I ended up going to New York And she stayed here and we didn't, which is great because she met her husband actually during that time. So it all worked out. And I met mine on the way home. So I guess it did work out. But California has always had this place in my heart, as does Hawaii. But California to me was almost like supposed to be, right? Like I was supposed to be Britney Spears. I've always tried to be famous, my triple threat, singing, dancing, acting, all the things. And so California is huge to me. Anytime I have an opportunity to go there, I run. And so we land at 10:01 a.m. And I'm like, I know, God, I know what you're trying to tell me. I'm here. I've arrived. Although I'm probably going to live in New York forever, which is more than fine for me. I do love a good season. But I land at 10:01 and I felt amazing. We went quickly to get the rental car. We got a four-door Jeep like we drive here at home. So my husband really felt like just at home already driving in a vehicle that he's very used to and feels comfortable and fabulous in. And so we headed right to Santa Monica Pier. We walked the pier. I got my toes in the sand. I did a little grounding, not only in the sand, but in grass as well. Hugged a palm tree because you know me, I love hugging a palm tree. We had a fabulous lunch. I've felt walking along not the pier itself, but walking along like the sidewalks next to the beach. I felt very much like I was in a Peloton video because when I ride my Peloton, I'm often riding the Santa Monica Pier, not episode, but course or class, you know, the ride along. So it felt really cool. I was like, oh, this is awesome. Like next time I ride my bike, I'll be like, yeah, I was just there, you know, so that's pretty cool. So we walked along the beach, we got lunch. It was beautiful, fabulous, just sitting, listening to the ocean waves in the sand, being like under our feet and the sun beating on us. It just feels like home when I'm in the sun. It actually doesn't matter where my location is, but when the breeze is blowing and the sun is on my face, I feel most at home. You know me, I love the light. So we had, after lunch, we walked back to our car. We wanted to check into the hotel, but we stopped and had some fresh fruit. The coolest part that I thought, like being in California, which was different from our habits here in New York, or I feel like any other place, there wasn't a hot dog stand. There wasn't an ice cream or a cotton candy stand. It was fresh fruit everywhere. So of course, my daughter and I were like, dessert. So we got, I don't even know how much I paid for this thing. I just gave him my card and I was like, I want the biggest thing of mangoes you have. And so we ended up getting a blend. It was delicious. And we got back to the Jeep, went to the hotel, checked in. It was awesome. That evening, there was one thing I wanted to do. My husband asked me before we even left for California. He was like, okay, me and Soph are going to Disneyland, of course. We're going to play basketball. We're going to swim. It's going to be great. What's one thing you really want to do besides your summit if you have time? Because we actually only had that day together before the summit started happening for me. So I said, I just want to go to the Kabbalah Center. Right. So I've been studying Kabbalah. David Guillaum is the coach I've been following, my teacher. And I was just like, I just want to walk in there. I know there's like a bookstore inside. So I didn't have to like go take a class or make an appointment. I thought I could just walk in and like take a lap and see what it was all about. But unfortunately, we got there and it was closed. So you know me. Did I not hop on Instagram instantly and message David and say, hey, I'm at the Kabbalah Center in California. Oh my goodness. And I like took a selfie and I said, are you here? Knowing the doors were closed, I was like, any chance you're here? And like, I just knew this was far-fetched. Within like 20 seconds, I got a response and said, hey, I'm actually in New York this week. And I was like, oh man, you gotta be kidding me. Like, I'm from New York, he's in California. And for this 1 week only, we've swapped locations. And I was like, what are the odds, right? Like, so anyway, it was yucky that I didn't get to meet him. I was not thrilled because it was the one thing I wanted to do. Actually, I did say the one thing I wanted to do was go to the Kabbalah Center, and I did that. So check that box. Next time, I'll be more specific and say I want to meet David, shake his hand, give him a hug, exchange energies, and just thank him for what he's brought into my world. He and his teachings are 100% a part of the healing I've experienced and elevation that I've experienced over this last year. So I really just wanted to thank him properly. But That's okay. I thanked the Kabbalah Center, grounded myself in front of their doors for a few minutes, and it just, it felt really cool, actually. It was pretty cool. So we ended up so that evening we went home, we had dinner, and kind of went to sleep. The next day, I got to meet Jennifer Perry, which is my mastermind partner. So Jennifer and Perry and I, you've heard me talk about her, I think in the last few episodes, about the mastermind, my Empowered to Lead mastermind that she and I are hosting together. And we had never met in person. So this was the first time we got to meet in person. So if we got a video of it, we were hugging, we were crying. It was a whole thing. So it was pretty cool to meet her and her husband. We had lunch. I had lobster cob salad at the top of the Beverly Hilton on their rooftop restaurant. It was so diva. It was pretty cool, actually. And so we checked into the Success Summit. So from that point forward, it was all business, right? So it was still fun and fabulous, but it was pretty much all business. Checked in, got my name tag, got my swag bag, met Aiko. Aiko is actually my business agent at the Celebrity Branding Agency. And he's the one that's been the liaison between myself, the editor, and the rest of the team, and of course, Jack. And so it was really cool to meet him, to meet Gina, my editor, and Nick Nanton, who is actually the head of the Celebrity Branding Agency. He is a Hollywood producer, a songwriter, a documentarian, and a humanitarian. He's just a phenomenal soul and heart and gift to this world as well. It was really cool to meet him. I actually met him in the gym, which was kind of cool. All sweaty. He's like, "Hey, you're Nick. I'm Miranda. Nice to meet you. Let's power walk a 5K together." He actually ran. I power walked, but we were both working out. It was pretty cool to meet him. So that evening was actually the first real event of the Success Summit. It was the red carpet experience that a lot of you have seen photos of, me in the blue dress. Oh, that blue dress has a story of its own. Oh my goodness. Talk about trusting God, trusting that what is for you will make its way to you no matter what. So I'll definitely dive into the red carpet experience as well as meeting Jack Canfield and that event. And of course, the two events following that weekend. But some of the things that really stood out to me on this trip wasn't just walking the red carpet or, you know, having tons of photos taken or being a part of this amazing summit or meeting these celebrities. It was the things that God was doing in my life throughout the event, giving me little signs, showing me that the universe is there for me, that I'm not alone in this walk, that I'm heard, that again, what is for me will find its way. So this dress was just one of those signs, like landing at 10:01, definitely one of those signs. The blue dress, another one of those signs. So I had ordered two dresses online before I left. They were going to be the red carpet dress, and they were going to be the, you know, there was two different red carpet events. So there were going to be like the first one, the cocktail one, and one was more of the gala experience on the last evening. Neither one of those dresses came before I left. So of course I was in a panic. So for the days leading up to the event, I dragged my daughter all over the capital region here looking for dresses that equaled the energy that I felt purchasing those two dresses. And I did buy one, but it just wasn't it. But I did like it, so I still bought it. And then I bought another one just in case as a backup. So technically I bought three dresses during that week. One was navy blue, one was hot pink, and one was royal blue. I thought the royal blue one was more for this Manhattan trip that's coming up, but I still bought it just in case. So I packed a lot of dresses, tons of shoes, but I still went with the expectations that I was going to find the dress in California because, I mean, hello, it's California. The options are probably way more abundant and along the lines of the dresses I found online. So I also had a friend that lives on the West Coast and she was like, one of the stores that you wanted to order from has actual brick and mortar stores in California. And I was like, oh my gosh, perfect. So actually, that first night after Santa Monica Pier, before the Kabbalah Center, we went to the mall. You're like, what? You go to California, Beverly Hills, and stop at a mall? It's so basic. But I didn't care because I was finding that dress. So we went to three different stores. None of the stores had the dresses I would look for. I even stopped at like a Macy's just in case. Nothing had the dresses, the vibe I was looking for. Ben and I split up. He was going to go get some food. I was going to keep looking for dresses because I was just desperate at this point. I really didn't want to settle for the dress that I bought for the first impression, right? Because, you know, me, pink tutus are all the rage. So the dress I actually got for this event was like a pink tutu type dress. Very long, flowy, fabulous, little, you know, puffy sleeves. It was gorgeous. And I'll wear it because it eventually did come. So I'll wear it at some point, just not to this event. Maybe I'll wear it for next year. We'll see. So my husband texted me and said, hey, there's one more store down here at the back in the corner. It looks like it's got like prom dresses. And I was like, oh, it's probably like a junior store, little skinny minis. And I'm like, I'll go check it out. I'm desperate. Well, in the window was essentially an identical dress to the pink tutu-ish one that I bought. And I was like, oh my gosh, maybe this is it. Like, God, you were so good to me. Like, why are you making me? Actually, Sophie and I had a conversation on the escalator down before Ben texted me. I said, I just don't understand why I'm not meant to have a fabulous dress for my first red carpet experience. Like, this is huge for me. And no, I wasn't gonna like sit in the disappointment, but I just, don't we always question God? I mean, I felt horrible, but I am human. And I did it in front of my daughter, which actually makes what happened more magical. I was like, I just don't get it, man. Like, I know I'm meant to, this is an amazing experience. I know I'm meant to feel amazing. In order to feel amazing, I have to be looking amazing, because let's be honest, like our feelings are tied to how we look, especially at that type of event. So I didn't want to have the dress I settled for. I mean, I would have gotten on board with it. I would have done my hair, makeup. I had all the rhinestone accessories. I had diamond shoes. Like, it would have been fine. I would have looked fabulous. I would have eventually got myself in a state of fabulousness, and I would have walked the red carpet and been so grateful to have been there, and the dress would have been nothing. But I still just didn't get it. Like, I didn't feel like this was the dress. And so that's, I just said, I just don't get it. Like, does God not want me to experience this? And if that's the case, okay, but it's going to take a minute for me to kind of wrap my brain around it. And Sophie's like, I don't believe that. Like, you don't believe that either. And then that's when my husband texted me. And so I've always put my faith, even in last minute situations, God's got me, this is all going to work out. And even if it doesn't work out in the way I think it's going to work out now, I eventually look back and connect the dots and be like, holy shit, like, that's why it didn't work out, you know? And it's happened a lot in my life. And I just continue to put my trust in him. But again, I'm human. It happens. And so going down the escalator, my daughter said, or my husband texted me, come check out this last place. So I was like, oh my God. I saw the dress in the front window and I was like, you're just messing with me now, God. Like, he likes to show off. He likes to mess with me. I feel like he definitely treats me like a daughter. Like, I watch my husband be sarcastic and mess with my daughter. That is how God and I, that's how our relationship is. It's definitely father-daughter, the way my husband and daughter have a relationship, like sarcasm and messing around with each other, but complete love and respect and ultimately knowing what the other one needs. And it's pretty cool. So I was like, are you kidding me? I'm like, God's messing with me. And she just starts laughing and I start laughing. And so I grab the dress and of course they're not in my size. And I'm like, all right, so it wasn't this one. At this point I've surrendered. It's not the pink one. There's a whole store wall to wall of crazy dresses. So I end up finding one. Actually, they're all very like tiny. Even the larges were very tiny. They're like a 5'6". And I'm like, hey, California guy. I'm from New York, so I'm not a 5'6". I'm like, do you have any dresses that are like extra large or a 1X even? I said, I'm like a 12, 14 here in New York. And so do you have any equivalent to California sizes? It's probably like a 20 in California sizes. And he's like, oh, yeah. I got some stuff for you in the back. And I'm like, awesome. Like, big girls in the back. That's so messed up. And my husband starts laughing because he's had an experience like that before at a store where somebody said he was in the wrong section. And I'm like, we're not that big. What the hell? We're thick, whatever. And so there was a dress. Well, I was looking through the dresses while he went into the back and came out with this pink fluffy thing that was, it looked ridiculous. I was like, absolutely not. And so I found this blue one, the one that maybe you've seen me hold with a big bow on my shoulder. And I was like, this dress is perfect. It was a 3X. And I was like, maybe I can pin it, because I knew that wasn't going to fit me, but it looked gorgeous. And it was like spandexy. So I was like, I don't know, maybe it will fit me, whatever. I don't even give a shit about sizes. I just want to be in a dress that I feel fabulous in. So he was like, you're not trying that on. It's way too big. I actually have that in the back in an XL. And I'm like, all right, and again, spandexy, right? So it's all subjective. I mean, my kid could have put it on and it would have fit her. So I put it on. I had three other dresses to try on with it. And I was like, I'm good. This is it. And so it was the most fabulous feeling putting that dress on. And I had my hair in a messy, sweaty bun, my black glasses on, like flip-flops. It wasn't even like I had nothing that my, no makeup on at this point, but it was the dress. I knew it instantly. And I was surprised because it wasn't hot pink. However, I have royal blue glasses and I was like, perfect. I had diamond shoes already to go with the diamond bow. And I'm like, this is perfect. And I was just like, thank you, God. Like, way to exceed my expectations. I wanted the most fabulous dress, and I thought it was going to be a pink tutu, which is literally like my brand, my signature appearance, pink tutus, but it wasn't. It was the royal blue LinkedIn version of my brand, right? Which is hilarious because that is my second brand color, and I had everything to match it. And so it was so cheap. It was less, I think it was $100, but then there was like 30% off. It was absolutely ridiculous. And I was like, sold, let me take this immediately. And I laughed because I was like, I bought all those other dresses. That was a waste of money because those were not cheap. But whatever, I'll either wear them at some point in the future or, you know, donate them to somebody who needs a fabulous dress. So I have the fabulous dress. And so red carpet event comes. So now we're fast forwarding to the next day. And I'll speed up the success summit at this point because I don't want this to be a 40-minute episode. But I want to really not only share the amazingness of this trip, but all the little God kisses or whatever you want to call them that happened throughout the experience. Things I never thought would imagine are happening because I said yes to myself and I took a chance. I invested in myself in this project, which took me to California to meet Jennifer, who is a partner of mine. I maybe eventually would have met her, but this one guaranteed I did because she is also an author in other books and a producer in other, you know, projects that Celebrity Branding Agency has. She's been with them for 13 years. So she was like my guide through this. She was my Obi-Wan, if you will, through this experience. And it was just, I don't know, just connecting to God throughout this entire time, knowing that everything I desired was happening in a bigger way than I had even desired, really opened my eyes to what's possible when we stretch ourselves, when we put in max effort. The universe, God, whatever you feel that's the creator of this universe, the creator of our existence, I call it God. I know it to be God. When we do our part, he will take over and carry us the rest of the way when we are exhausted, right? When people say hustle, 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 I'm not a fan of hustle, but I am a fan of max effort. Doing all that I can, exhausting the system, which is essentially what David from my Kabbalah studies has taught me, to exhaust the system and then God will take over. The universe, our guides, the creator will take over and carry us the rest of the way. So I said yes to myself. It got me to this beautiful location in this beautiful dress. Now I'm walking the red carpet because I'm just like, I'm that girl. I now walk red carpets. I'm just saying. So I get off the elevator. Jennifer's there videotaping me as I get off the elevator. It's such a cute scene. She's so adorable. Just like such a fan of hers. And it turns out she's a fan of mine too, which is kind of cool, which makes us great partners for the women in our mastermind group. And so went to the red carpet experience. I got right in line and met Jack Canfield. And it was love at first sight. This gentleman, 70 years old, just like the grandpa I never had. Like, just, I have been following Jack Canfield and his work. I mean, who hasn't read Chicken Soup for the Soul? Come on. So, any of them. I read it in high school, The Teenage Soul. And then from that point forward, had always studied his work, The Success Principles, and so many other books of his, had been the foundation, even before Tony Robbins, you know, like, even before, like, other people that I had studied in school. Jack was one of the first books that I read, people that I connected to on that life coachy path. And so meeting him was, oh my, was mind blowing. So I get there and he's so sweet and normal. He's like, hello, hi, Miranda, nice to meet you. He's like, oh, hi, how are you? So he and I have connected because of the project, but we never met in person. So it was great to hug him, to say hello. I actually told him, because I hadn't yet, we were talking for a while, so people are taking pictures, which is kind of cool. I felt bad, like, taking up time, but we were having a conversation. We've got a few people in common besides our work together, so I kind of connected some dots about how I got to where I am today with him. I'm friends with one of his employees, and so that woman has walked my book into him to ask him to write a foreword for me, which, as you know, did not happen. And he just kind of paused and he's like, oh, hi. He's probably like, oh, snap, that's you. And I was like, it's okay. Here, the book came out and the perfect person wrote the foreword for it. You're perfect for my next one. And he started laughing. And so we took a picture of me holding the book and he's like, I got one question for you. He said, if you had a green dress on, would you have green glasses? And his, like, cute little old man voice. And I was like, well, I probably wouldn't have green on, but I do have hot pink, which I'll be wearing tomorrow. And he was like, all right, I'll look for you. And I said, all right, sounds good. So we took our pictures and moved on. Well, the very next day, so that event itself was gorgeous, amazing. Like, I met so many cool people there. It essentially was just, to me, the outcome of a leap of faith, if you will. The party at the end of the leap was a red carpet event in Beverly Hills. The next 2 days was full of complete magic. Jack Canfield actually opened the event and called me up on stage. If you're watching me at all on Instagram or on LinkedIn, you've seen a small video. Check out one of my reels of Jack calling. He remembered me. He saw my pink glasses and he was like, Miranda, you're, oh my gosh, you are wearing pink. Come on up, come on up. So I came up. I had my hot pink pow pants on, my comic book pants, and my pink cape. So I joined him on stage and did, like, an exercise kind of thing with them. It was amazing. Also, other speakers for that day were Brittany Turner, the head of the Ariel Group. She and her husband, Jeremy Locke, are such an amazing inspiration for the work they do in this world with ending trafficking, as well as rehabilitating the minds, hearts, souls, and missions of veterans. And the work they do at the Ariel Group and Ariel Recovery is amazing. I highly suggest you look them up on Instagram, Brittany Turner and Jeremy Locke, just two amazing human beings. And then that evening was a premiere of a movie called Brissa, a woman who has such a tremendous story that I don't want to give any of it away because it's actually not out in the public yet, but look up Brissa, B-R-I-S-A, see if you can get a little bit of information on it. Her story is game-changing for an entire nation. And I got to meet her and her family and walk another red carpet with her and meet her, and it was just absolutely amazing. And then the next day, day two, was Lisa Nichols. I mean, Lisa freaking Nichols. She was one of the first teachers that I bought a course, like, 10, 11 years ago on how to be a public speaker. She's the head of Motivating the Masses. She's actually doing a one-woman show on Broadway now about her story. And Jennifer and I were there to experience her opening number. She had done a few scenes and it was just magical. So I met her. We had a tremendous conversation. Check out my Instagram for reels on that too. Girl had me crying when I met her, calling me an angel because of she witnessed some behavior of mine and just felt that it was beautiful to watch and kind of called me out in front of the room. So that was, it was crazy. I feel like God was there the entire time, shining a light on me and it wasn't a dark room. The room was already lit. Like literally the lights were dim, but like every single person in that room probably felt like I felt. This was amazing. They were shining their brightest. They were illuminating the entire room with their own energy and presence. But for some reason, I felt God had put a light on me because everybody in that room, for some odd reason, mentioned feeling my energy or catching my eye, wanting to meet me, observing something I did, calling me up on stage. Like, I ended up getting Lisa's email address. We may work together in the future. Like, there's just so many amazing things that are happening. She has a copy of my book now, as does Jack. And it's just the craziest stuff, man. The craziest things can happen when you, and for me, it's leaning into my faith. It is making that the foundation, being completely unapologetic about how I plan to roll in this universe with the one life God has given me. And saying yes to myself, expanding what I think is possible, even in my own limited brain, it's just the things that can happen. And it's not, I mean, it's for everybody. And that's the thing. I still don't know what I would name this episode, but I want it to be essentially, you know, it's for everyone. But I know I talked a lot about California, so I may just call it the Cali Recap. But what I went through is not like special for me. It's not just for me. It's for everyone. All you have to do is take a leap of faith and ask for resources and connect to people that are either doing what you want to do someday or have access to get you there, and just befriend them, ask for resources, invest, get a credit card if you have to. And I used to hate when coaches would say, get a credit card to sign on to my coaching program or to buy my course. I thought it was so, it was just distasteful. Like it was just janky. I was like, ew, I'm never getting a credit card to give it to you. Like that's weird. Although it's not. I mean, any business owner knows that business can be made, like some debt is good. So I ended up getting my first business credit card. Isn't that crazy? I've been in business full time for 5 years now. Actually, in December, it'll be 5 years. And it's my first credit. I paid for everything with cash because, I mean, I make good business decisions and, you know, I do well for myself. And I don't invest in huge ticket items. Like the biggest thing I invest in is probably my website redo, my rebrand, you know, coaching, whatever, but I've always been able to, I signed up for things when I could afford it. I now see that I bet you that was a huge mistake, right? Like, because yes, I may have some credit card debt now, but I've never worked harder. I've never been more laser focused and so clear on how I will get that return on my investment 10 times. I've never been more clear. And I'll talk more about that in a future episode on a big investment. And so getting back from California, so obviously that last night, my family and I, we actually ordered pizza to the room because we were just like, we just wanted a little taste of home, right? So we ordered pizza and it was not New York pizza, but that's all right. We ordered pizza. I actually ordered scallops and champagne from room service because I became a diva in those 3 days. And so my husband had pizza. My daughter ordered truffle fries for like $25 because she too became a diva. And we just had a great experience as a family. We sat on the deck or the patio of the hotel room that last night. Sophie made TikToks. I just looked out into the view and it was just a regular street view. And the palm trees were breezing and my husband was rubbing my feet. And it was just a whole vibe of beautiful California air, recapping the experience with my husband and just being so grateful for being in that experience. And so riding such a high, right? I started talking about roller coasters and EKGs being up and down. And this was definitely up, right? This was so up. It was unreal. So coming home the next day, still a great experience. The flight home was awesome. Like it was so quick, I feel like. It was so good. It was good to be home. But we got home on a Saturday night. Sunday morning was right back into sports mom mode, right back to basketball. first thing Sunday. I wasn't mad at it because I love basketball. My daughter loves basketball. So, of course, my husband and I do too. Let me take a sip of water. I've been talking a lot, so I'm a little parched. And I don't edit. So you're welcome. You're getting me live. My podcast coach would be like, girl, just edit that drink of water out, but I'm going to keep it. Less work for me. All right. It's like you're having a real conversation with me, right? Why not? So we get back at sports mom mode. The transition that day was fine, but that Monday, everybody went back to work. My daughter went to school, had her first day of school a week later, which she was fine with. And I was like, now what? Where I was energized in a way that I knew things had changed and would never be the same for me, that I had essentially climbed a spiritual like level, if you will, the way I feel, the what I experienced, the gratitude was just so abundant. And I need time to process. Like my husband can go right back to work. Sophie went right back to her friends in basketball, but I'm a different person. I'm different. I need time. And I know I'm not alone in that. I needed time to reflect. Even in Hawaii, I didn't really give myself a chance to come home and almost like meld back into home mode. It's like Hawaii, home, California, home. And some people can do that. I can't. I need probably a day or two, probably two or three, to be honest, and just look through pictures, record my feelings, maybe some podcasts, right? And just like write down the lessons and pray and be grateful and then make a plan for the next, you know, when I get back to it. And I didn't really get that. So the transition was hard for me. And so I realized in that transition, and I'm going to do a whole episode on that. Maybe it's a part two. Maybe it's just an episode in itself of this success shame cycle that I found myself in right after California. And I'm not trying to end this on a sad note, and it's not sad at all. It's a part of the journey. But as high as California was, about a week later, I was pretty low. And it was a hangover, right? A success hangover. And I'm sure it's a thing. I'm sure there's books on it. Feel free to DM me and tell me if you've read one. And part of me felt it was separate from the upper limit problem I thought I was hitting. I wasn't ashamed of my success, but the way I recovered from that success hangover took me out of what could have been. For like riding the high. You know, people ride their 15 minutes of fame as long as they can. I just ended it. I cut it off and I posted about it for a little bit, but then I cut it off and I just wallowed in it. And I'm learning to handle this newfound success as a best-selling author, a red carpet walker. Listen, I'm still just normal me, right? I'm literally in yoga pants and a sports bra with my hair in a messy bun recording this. So I'm still normal me, but it has taken a month for me to reconcile the success with back to normal home life. And so I will record an entire episode on that, because whether you've experienced it now or you may in the future, I know it will help someone to hear how I've transitioned back into home mode, back into regular entrepreneur mode, sports mom, all the things, and how I picked myself back up from a small hiccup, because you guys are used to hearing me talk about big hiccups, like big life things like death and layoffs and giant losses. Well, I also experience little baby ones too. And sometimes they're just as hard because of what we tell ourselves, how we talk to ourselves, how we perceive the experience and what happens after it. So I will come back with another episode on that. But until then, I hope you enjoyed hearing my California recap, all the little God moments that found their way to me, reaffirming that everything I desire is for me. I still believe, no matter how up and down I get, that God put me on this world for a reason, and I'm on that path. And if I veer from that path, he will bring me back, and he will make sure to gift me with little surprises along the way that I'm so grateful for. And my gift to him is becoming exactly who he made me to be. So until next time, thank you for listening. I'm curious if you've ever had a success hangover before. I'll dive more into it, of course, in the future, but I'm curious. I've piqued your interest, I'm sure. If you've had a success hangover, DM me, because maybe I'll interview you about it. And while sharing a little bit of my experience, we can talk about yours too. All right, friends, thank you for listening. It's been a joy being in your ear. And until next time, continue to own your awesome. Bye.